go ahead and call our work session to order. It is Tuesday, February 19th, 2019, at 6:01 PM, and we are meeting in the Cedar Hills Community Center. And the only thing on our agenda today is to go over things on our council meeting agenda. So, Mr. Rayland.
Where would you like to start?
So, so the council's aware, how about tobacco 21?
Okay.
So, so the council's aware, we had the ordinance that we drafted, and it was in the packet on Friday. And then I sent a copy of it to the person that we've been working with, the American Medical Association. And over the weekend, well, mainly on Monday, mainly yesterday, he had the people from their group and the health departments, anyway, the groups have been working on tobacco 21, go through their ordinance and give us several suggestions that he felt like were needed to be updated. So there will actually probably be several changes if the council's on board for tonight. They're nothing crazy. Most of them we agree with.
Most of them are minor details.
Yeah, or just changes. Yes. So not really more. It's not
more. I would say it clarifies some. It's a matter of, we can just
discuss.
They're nothing
okay.
Big. So. My changes, my notes, in addition to what theirs is because this ordinance was adopted strictly from Lehigh, that's why you see the leftover. We didn't catch one of the Lehighs at the end of the document, but this ordinance does not apply to Lehigh, it applies to Cedar Hills. But in the very beginning of this ordinance, there's a list of the whereases, and N is one I would like to reword, just because I think it changes the intent dramatically from what we are intended to do tonight to what the and is stating we're doing. MLSA is means minimum legal smoking age, and right now it says the purpose in raising the minimum legal smoking age to 21 is to reduce tobacco use by keeping tobacco products out of the hands of those under the age of 21. We are not changing the minimum legal smoking age. What we're doing is we're changing the legal age to purchase tobacco. So. And I've reworded that to say the city's purpose in raising the age to purchase tobacco products is to reduce tobacco use by keeping those tobacco products out of the hands of those under the age of 21. So, because we're not changing
sure.
MLSA, so I wanted to clarify that. Because I think that's important and it leads into probably further discussion. Under 4DAT, if you have any questions, if I skip any concerns that you have, please just interrupt me. Under 4-3-2 definitions, the first definition that's there is distribute or distribution. And this is probably for me the biggest issue is that I have some anxiety about the way that we're defining this. In my conversations with Mayor Reese over the past week, I don't want to criminalize or penalize a 21-year-old individual who shares a cigarette with a 21 or a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old. I don't think that's the intent of what I was trying to do when working this code. So I wanted to clear that up. Really what we're doing is saying that at the point of sale between the distributor or the seller of the tobacco product and the consumer, that's where we're going after. We're not going after social interactions where cigarettes are shipped.
Well, the purchaser, not necessarily the consumer.
Yeah. So the way they have distribute or distribution, it means to furnish, give, provide, or attempt to do so, whether gratuitously or for any type of compensation. So that's a pretty broad definition of distribute to me. In fact, what we're looking at more is a distribution means to sell, barter, exchange, or attempt to do so. And I would like to see that whether gratuitously stricken or for any type of compensation. So that's one thing. And then distributor, I was going to add, right, the next definition says means a licensed tobacco retailer who sells, correcting the verbiage there, a tobacco product. So that we're specifically talking about licensed tobacco retailers. Tobacco retailer is defined, it says means a person that is required to obtain a tax commission license, and then a distributor would be a licensed tobacco retailer. The tobacco product definition, they want us to add electronic smoking device, so it would read a cigar, cigarette, electronic smoking device, or electronic cigarette, as those terms are defined in section 76-10-101. I think that's
you
one
of the
What's that?
Because we define it above.
Yeah.
We just want to include it.
Yeah, so they want us to include that, and I think that changes just fine. And then I didn't want to get too far into defining a tobacco product. In this case, I want to rely on what the state code has defined. And so you see those references to state code in Title 76, 59, and 76 again of state code. I've checked those are valid references, and I think that those are more than sufficient than anything we could come up with on our own. In 4-3-3, it says the sale or distribution of any tobacco product. I was considering striking distribution in there to just limit it to sale, but if we change the definition of distribute to kind of make it more of a point of sale rather than a donation or a gift, I don't have as much problem with that. But in 4-3-4, age verification, I was going to change some of this language, the taking out distributor or distributing. But we can say before distributing any tobacco product, the tobacco retailer. So anywhere it says distributor, I want to change that to be tobacco retailer, not distributor. I don't want there to be any confusion that this means the individual who is sharing the cigarette. I feel like that's important. I feel like Lehigh passed code last week on this that I don't know if it was their intention or not, but it really reads like it does penalize the social sharing of cigarette or tobacco product. Under 4-3-5 enforcement.
Well, I guess the only difference is their code would allow if somebody went and bought cigarettes for a kid and gave them to their car and got reversed, which happens sometimes, that allows them to go after those situations as well.
Yeah.
Ours will not, but that's okay.
Ours will not. I think our code right here is a good start. But I mean, if they're buying a cigarette and they're 21 years old and they're sharing it with their 19-year-old or selling it to their 19-year-old friend, the point of the code to me is that you're preventing people from smoking. But anyway, under enforcement, this is also another point of discussion I'd like to have. Right now the Utah County Health Department has these task force teams that go around to various retailers, and they have kids that are under 19, and they go and they try to purchase tobacco products. And if they're successful, they get a citation of some sort. And if they get a number of citations, it increases the penalty. So we don't control that. We have no, I don't even see reports on it. I don't have any jurisdiction on this. And this is where I say that, and the wording of this code, they want us to change this from a may to a shall, so that it reads, the Utah County Health Department or authorized designee and law enforcement shall conduct random unannounced inspections. I have it as may, and this is, I think changing it to a shall is a toothless shall because the city doesn't enforce that at all. We can leave it as shall because I think that in our communication with Lieutenant Ludlow, they're already doing these checks quarterly. So nothing's going to change. It's just the city doesn't have the ability to really enforce that in any way. So may or shall, I'm comfortable with either one. I just don't think it makes a huge difference. But we can change it to shall. That's fine. And then at the very end of that, they have selling tobacco to minors. They want to change minors to persons under 21. I think that's a nice clarification. And then for penalties, in 4-3-7, they would like to see Section 8 stricted. They felt like, what was their reasoning? It was too harsh.
It was too harsh, but talking to Lieutenant Ludlow, it made sense to keep it just because, as Lieutenant Ludlow said, it's really not the store who's making the decision to sell to someone underage, it's the clerk who's making the decision to sell to someone underage.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have criminal offenses in there, then there's not anything American Fork can really do about it.
Well, and it does give American Fork some latitude in whether or not to issue a citation. It says may be cited. You know, so if it's a person who's, I think it was a student here, if it's a person who's, it's their second day on the job and they just messed up versus a person who maliciously or willfully sold a package of cigarettes or current cigarettes to a friend, knowing that they were in range of their, to me, there are two different circumstances. It does give American Fork some latitude there. Now, one thing I wasn't certain on is if we struck A from the record, does American Fork have any jurisdiction to recall all in the health department to cite to give any citations?
In the email from Lieutenant, he said
it would all fall.
It would all fall in health department, which is why he did recommend that we strike that.
So that's something to consider. And then in B, it says a civil penalty may be imposed by the local health department against, it says the owner of the store. I want to change that to tobacco retailer. And then in C, C1, it says revoke a tobacco permit. For clarity's sake, it's a tobacco retail permit, and that is a real permit that's issued by the county or the state. That's what I want to reference that. And then under three, there was some discussion on, we have the term retail tobacco specialty business. They were asking that it's not defined in this code. We have defined it in our city code, it's elsewhere in the city code, and this reference 10-8-41.6 also defines as definition for retail tobacco specialty business. So I don't know if that's necessary to be the and then obviously in the next session 4-3-8A, we don't want it to say Lehigh, we want it to say Cedar Hills. As you've gone through the code or as you've given it any thought, what questions can I answer?
And we do have a representative.
Yes.
I mean, I'm happy with all the changes that you brought up. I didn't think of that as I read through the code, but that clarifies it and
helps a little more. On B, 2, 3, and 4, we should probably talk about that because that's the one where you and I talked about the AG definition.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know the answer to that.
So B, 1, 2, and 3.
B1, 2, and 3, there's a first violation, and then if you have a second, third violation with, and maybe Mark can help answer. On second, third, and fourth violations, right now we're saying the second violation is within 12 months, and the third and fourth violations are within 24 months of the previous violation, or the two previous violations. Are those timelines, are those stipulated by state code? Okay. So there was some feedback that we got to possibly lengthen those to 36 months. My personal opinion would be to just follow what state code has established and to follow their guidelines, especially where, and this is where it gets tricky for a municipality like Cedar Hills, where our police force is contracted out. So if we're already kind of separating ourselves from American Fork a little bit in that in Cedar Hills you can't buy any tobacco products under the age of 21, or American Fork you can't. But I think it's best practice to for ease of law enforcement to make those as agreeable as possible. So if state code is dictating the timeline there, I see no reason to diverge.
So what Marsh Group indicated was that they said longer approval period makes it more likely that a retailer might actually reach for violation of Facebook for a suspension, which creates more incentive to comply.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which would mean, so they're saying extended to 36.
Oh, extending it? Oh, I can keep it. Do you think 24
so
that many violations in 2 years instead of?
Well, they're saying the clock starts only for a day in 12 months and 24 months. If you have it not starting until 36 months, then they're
so
more likely.
So basically, you're on probation for longer.
That you're more likely to stay in compliance because the clock stops starting over so soon.
And so I spoke with, last week I was in a meeting, I spoke with both representatives from Lehigh and Orem. And we had previously reported that Orem was considering, I spoke with their city manager, and at this point, they were considering it's not known to the city manager there. That's something the mayor may be considering, but he hasn't spoken with the city manager about it, so I need to correct myself. The Lehigh mayor told me that he did speak with some representatives from Hearts, some of the clerks there, and I spoke with our clerks just in passing and asked them what they thought of it, and they liked the idea. I think that they realize there probably will be a monetary impact on their business, but overall, the contribution to societal health is probably offsetting that.
So, is there any word from American Fork on their?
Not yet, no. I don't know that they. This is a very fresh idea, really. I mean, and I would say that you're probably going to see a lot of cities start to move in this direction because it kind of gets a little bit of momentum and traction. And there's also a legislative bill that will change this year. Okay. So it may be forced statewide, and what we're doing tonight could be completely redundant.
Well, an interesting is, it's been at state level for a while, but it never goes very far, and so that's why, five years.
Actually, seven.
Okay.
I want to bring that to you. 25 years.
But if they start saying, yes, so.
And so, but that's what they're saying, that's what the representative of the state said when I spoke to them, was if they see cities getting on board with this, then they're more likely to be able to do on a state level. And I don't, no, at that event that I have between me, Mayor Frost and David Bunker were not there, so this might not even be on their radar as of yet. But I know you guys are making your way through to all the cities.
I spoke with Dave Bunker about it a little bit. He had not, he wasn't aware of it, so I just think it's a very fresh idea for him as well.
But you saw after Lehigh passed it, that Carol wrote an editorial encouraging cities to do it. Today in the Tribune, this afternoon, there was another editorial, again, encouraging cities in the state to do this. So it's starting to gain some traction on that Lehigh.
Yeah.
So I think getting behind it is a good thing, even though we're early on, I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But there.
Yeah, I don't think it was at all. I think what we do is it doesn't really matter to me whether it's 24 or 36 months that Harper is talking about. What I do want to do is when American Fork does start considering to work with them and make sure we're matching the policy for police to carry items, I think we can be a good blueprint for them.
What?
So if there's something you really feel strongly about, let's do it, and that be the blueprint they work on.
But just to be clear on that, that's under B, which is the civil penalty. And if I'm understanding from Lieutenant Ludlow correctly, civil penalties are not assessed by American Fork Police. That would be by the health department. So it doesn't really matter if we match American Fork there anyway, because it's not the American Fork Police who issue the civil penalties. Okay. Yeah. They can only issue the criminal penalties in Section A, not the civil in Section B.
As with any new code, I think it's going to go through a number of revisions as cities adopt it, and there will be cities that might approach it from a point of view that maybe we're not. And it may be worth revisiting in a number of months to see what other cities have done, if it is more beneficial or if it clarifies the ambiguity. I think this is one of those things where as it goes on and on, it's only going to get better and more fun.
So I definitely think if we keep 437A, then
yeah,
for sure, I think that's got a lot of value in it.
Mark, would you like to come up and speak to the council addressing?
Sure.
And we'll have you do this again during council meeting. This is our work session.
No, I'm very happy to. So one thing, or a few.
Can I get your name, please?
Yes, sorry, Mark Watterson. I work with the American Heart Association here in the state. So with the health department, when they go out and do compliance checks, they actually work hand in hand with, as we mentioned, law enforcement. So they actually, the health department helps define youth, and then the youth actually signs a kind of a waiver with the local law enforcement that says, you know, I'm doing this, you know, I'm attempting to buy tobacco underage, you know, with the knowledge of the law enforcement, so that, you know, they don't themselves don't get in trouble for it. So just so you're aware of maybe that dynamic, that they do work hand in hand when they do those compliance checks. State code right now says that they can do 2 compliance checks a year, unless, you know, they have reason to believe that a retailer is selling to underage youth. So if they've heard reports from the community, or they've actually, you know, cited the store once, they can actually go back and do more compliance checks within that year. The second one is, as of right now, our organization and a few others have some reservations about the direction of the statewide tobacco 21 bill. Received information that the sponsors actually been working with the tobacco companies on writing the bill. So while it would raise the age up to 21, it would include some pretty broad preemption in there, meaning that it would attempt to roll back what cities and counties, local health departments have done on their tobacco-related ordinances. So I know that Cedar Hills, for instance, enacted an ordinance, I think it was last year,
that restricted the ability for tobacco specialty stores to be here in the community. From what we're hearing, this bill would actually be sent. So.
Do you know what the bill number is?
It's 324.
Is it House Bill something?
House Bill 324. That is very concerning for us. It's also talking with the Utah League of Cities and Towns to make sure that they're aware of that kids. You have to wonder why would a tobacco company support tobacco at 21 if it might reduce their sales, and this is the catch. So we're very supportive of local municipalities having their own authority to be able to enact their own tobacco-related ordinances, whether it's restricting tobacco specialty stores or having smoking parks or
On section, what we're doing on the penalties, we were just talking about that first, second, third violation where your group had recommended that we extend it out to the 36 months. Is that coming from the Utah County Health Department?
So that came from a group called the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium that we worked with on local tobacco ordinances. My maybe recommendation would be to stick with what's in state code.
Okay.
Sometimes we agree or disagree on some things, but I think that it might be safer just to stick with it in 4 months. It's like that in state code. And like I mentioned, if the health department has cited the business before, selling to an underage minor, they can go back and do more checks, compliance checks throughout the year. So instead of maybe just, the four within the 24-month period, if they've got a repeat offender, they might go in 5, 6, or 7 times to check, and increasing the likelihood that if it is a bad actor in the community, that they will reach that 3 or 4 penalties threshold where they could have their tobacco retail permit revoked.
What are the penalties for a Class A misdemeanor?
Class A.
Class A.
$1,000 a year in jail.
That's the maximum.
And I might mention that from my conversations with the Retailer Association, usually the first time that an employee is caught selling to an underage minor, that's the last day of the job. So the likelihood of them actually getting to a second or third or fourth offense is very low.
So along those lines, logistically, when your driver's license changes from portrait to landscape at 21, Do you have to initiate? I'm a lot older than that.
It expires when you turn 21, so you're forced to have an
initiation. Okay, so that's
all right. Yeah, and from what we've heard from retailers, that is one thing that they do actually like how the tobacco 21 ordinance or even the city law is. It's just a lot easier to tell if somebody's underage or not just by.
Yeah, and we talked about that earlier, which I think that goes along with why we support it. One of the reasons.
Yeah, even if you get your driver's license for the first time at 20, it's going to expire in 20
years. It does, okay. I wasn't sure about that.
I didn't know either, so I'm glad that she answered the question.
You have to go get that. Well, I only know because my second oldest didn't get her license for a while.
I'm happy to answer any other questions. I'll just right here.
How long have we been able to do this as a city?
So, what initiated all this was our failure to try and get it passed at the state level. And so there were questions about whether preemption already existed within state code. So the State Department of Health actually reached out to a few different groups and said, would you do a legal analysis of our state code and let us know? They had two specific questions. Was, can a local city or county or health department enact a tobacco to 21 ordinance or rule? And can a local city, county, or health department restrict where flavored tobacco products can be sold? And the analysis that they received back, and it was just over the summer, when we received this, was a local city or county, yes. A local health department, there was some gray area in that a few years ago, the state passed some regulations around liquid nicotine. Flavored, and because of some of the wording in there, it would actually not allow local health departments, which are supposed to be the ones checking on the liquids to make sure that they are what they say they are. So it would not allow for a local health department to enact a tobacco 21 rule that would impact all tobacco products the same. Would actually restrict what they could do with those flavored e-cigarette and e-liquid products, which that's the number one product that underage youth are using. So it didn't make sense for a local health department to try and pass a tobacco 21 rule that didn't capture the number one product that youth are using.
So the interesting thing is, as I was doing more research, is that we sort of already knew this, we just didn't associate it with tobacco in that Utah says that cities can make ordinances that are more strict than state code. You just can't make ordinances that are more lenient than state code. And we've done that in other ways. I mean, Highland does it, right? They don't allow alcohol sales in their city. It's more strict than state code. So we've always had either, and we just didn't put two together into tobacco.
Yeah, it's interesting in different parts of state code where it will set either a floor that you can't go above or it will set a ceiling. Or the floor where you can't go below or a ceiling where you can't go above. So I'm trying to find those areas where cities do have the authority to enact their own ordinances.
Which is how we did it with the tobacco specialty stores.
Yep.
Any other questions on the ordinance? For the changes that we talked about. We really appreciate you taking the time to go over it yesterday and give us some feedback.
No, you're welcome. You know, something that you mentioned earlier was, you know, as more cities are going through this process, it's kind of a refined process. Maybe noticing in the back part of this code that it said Lehigh City, there was some copying that just takes place, and that's pretty commonplace. And so as we work with other cities and counties, and I can definitely tell you you're not going to be the last one that we can set that we have three different counties and five other cities that are currently looking at it as well. So it's just a refining process that we're going through, and well, that's why we give feedback that hopefully we can find or create this ideal ordinance that you can say, okay, everybody else, you know, go ahead and you know, use this template. I just appreciate the city, you know, really taking a look at this ordinance and wanting to take action. I've had a chance to send over some information to the mayor as far as the staggering use statistics as far as tobacco usage, especially with e-cigarettes, and it's absolutely necessary that whatever municipality or city or state can take action should, because it's an epidemic with our youth.
And we included all that information in our packet the last council meeting, so as well. If a county passes it, is that just for an incorporated county, or does it then be for every city within the county?
That's a good question. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'll look that up. Because I know that the county has smoke-free parks. But cities have come back and included e-cigarettes into that ordinance as well. So I'm not sure if the county is able to put just a blanket over everything, or a city can come back on their own.
All right, thank you. John, I have one question on signage.
Sure.
So it talks about being within 6 feet of a register or wherever they are at point of sale. What about the door for the community? So they don't mean anything that you can enter this place and buy independent tobacco products. I also just wondered if you have to do it twice, because you think about Walmart. I think people would just breeze by those doors and don't even look at the outside. But Hearts would be.
I think Hearts may already have it on their door.
On their door.
And one of them does, I can't remember. It's yellow and black, right?
Exactly.
It's yellow and black. One of them has it on the door.
It's yellow, red, and black.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the kid can, we're not even talking to kids. Anyone that's 21 years and sees that, they may not go in and bother.
So if that's something that you want,
I know Walmart does a good job with signs, but
they
have them there. That
you can add that it has to be located at the entrance as well.
Anyone else have feelings about that?
I don't think that it'll deter that much, and I'll go with it. It's just proposed with it almost 4 feet.
Okay. It's not a sticking point for me. I just wondered if it would have any benefit.
Yes, there were never signs there right now.
Did you all get the same number of emails that I received in the last 24 hours?
Okay.
This.
Everybody, there's tons of emails from people saying, please pass this.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Did anybody receive one to talk about it?
No, I just got several to pass it.
Okay. I didn't see any, so that's interesting.
Maybe we're just sending them to the officials.
It's good, they're communicating.
Yeah, well, and you can tell it was sort of by really maybe one person, because the wording was identical for most of them, but and that's fine. Yeah, that was great. It was great to hear. All right, anything else on that one? If not, let's talk about the Cedar Canyon subdivision agreement.
Let's do that. So we've been working with Cedar Hills Farmland LLC and representatives from David Weekly Homes on assignment of the Cedar Canyon subdivision settlement agreement and development agreement, as well as a couple changes to the CC&R for that HOA. And this resolution it's different than what's in your packet. That's why I'm passing out a physical copy. I ran this by our attorney, Conkey, today. He added some language that he ran by the home representatives today. And one of them will be here tonight for the meeting to introduce himself. But just quickly to go over those changes. The resolution adds in the bold statement at the top, says, and at the very end, says, and authorizing the partial assignment of the settlement agreement and development agreement. And that's the critical piece, is that the whole land is being sold, but there will be a portion of that is deeded back. The commercial portion is David Weekly Homes is purchasing this point, but will deed back. Even if some of those transactions were $10 or more, to sell back to, just for ease's sake. So it's only a partial assignment. So David Weekly Homes is going to take on the requirements of the development agreement and settlement agreement and their portion, and then Cedar Hills Farmland, when they retain that land, when they receive that land back, they will retain their portion of their obligations for their commercial uses there as part of their development. So down below it says, now therefore, the City Council of Cedar Hills resolves to approve and hereby authorizes the mayor to execute amendments to the settlement agreement and development agreement as presented to the City Council by the City Planner. The City Council does hereby further resolve to approve the partial assignment of the Cedar Hills Farmland LLC. Down the next line says, insofar as the same relate to residential components of the project. So basically saying David Weekly Homes is going to take over the residential portion of that development. And then that last
starting with the third to last line, so relating to the residential components of the project provided that Cedar Hills Farmland LLC shall obtain all rights and obligations under such agreements insofar as they relate to commercial components of the project. So basically, it just allows them to develop, go move forward, develop that land, and then transfer that land back to Cedar Hills Farmland when the time comes. And that would happen at the time that they're recording the plat.
On the original resolution, it is referred to as Gateway Cooley Homes LLC, and this one is Gateway Cooley Homes LLC. Does that mean
that's what they're going to change to the plat?
Does Cedar Hills Farmland want to develop that commercial?
Eventually, they'll do that, yeah. And Gateway Homes, I've seen both of these, so they've indicated they have no intention of developing that commercial piece, so you on the Cedar Hills Farmland to develop that commercial plan as well.
Based on what we
offer, it has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any feedback on that?
Is that just so that it doesn't have to come back before council, we just offer it?
Yeah, well, and let me ask you both this. The changes, we're only asking for two changes to the CCNRs of HOA. One is, you know, mentioned this before, one is the perimeter fence on the subdivision. Calls for a vinyl fence with some monuments that are having masonry as part of it. They're saying we'd like the option to concrete type fence. It's the concrete on the outside, but it has the foam core on the inside, but it still looks like a concrete fence around the perimeter rather than a vinyl fence. And then the CCNR specifically called out for individual homes inside the development that their backyards have to have open fencing. They want closed fencing on the backyards, but open fencing in the front. So those are two changes to the CCNRs. At this point, it's easy to make that type of change to the CCNRs rather than retroactively the developments already have. Any concerns with those? Either those two changes.
Sounds like an upgrade, isn't
it? I feel like it, especially in the concrete fence, would be a big one. It only gives them the option to do that, but they've expressed that that's a good point.
But if there was anything else that they want to change for development, I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have to be voted on necessarily.
Yeah. And one thing we are working with them on is that the rock retention basin for the stormwater for this development, it's on that half acre piece that sits between the big open piece and the commercial land. The plat calls for that to be the rock mulch. We're working with David Weekly, who's designing an irrigation system for that retention basin, and we've been working with the developer Shaw Group to upgrade that to grass as part of their, so it can count as part of their open space, their green space for their development. Because it's going to be a steeper retention basin, and if it's rocks, kids are going to slide in. Grass is just a lot easier to slide on a rock. That's it. Anyway.
Any other questions on that?
Okay.
We have the agenda today. Can you have to go over?
So.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and adjourn, and we'll start back up at 7 o'clock.
I'll be
in motion to adjourn. Motion made by Councilor Ellsworth. Do you have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilor Anderson. All those in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.